prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to worship with my brothers and sisters, Father. And Lord, to exalt the name of Jesus and lift him up, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, for what you put in my heart to speak this morning, Father. Lord, give me ability, Lord, to speak it with clarity under your anointing, for I know I'm anointed by you, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. I love you, Lord, with all my heart. And I thank you for all that you do for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, go ahead. One of the most strongest things in my life is whenever I realized one of the things that Jesus did for me, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. When I realized that, when that revelation came to me, things started getting kind of easier. Because, I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself, if you know fear, K-N-O-W, you will have no room in you for no faith, N-O, faith. If you know faith, K-N-O-W, in God, you'll have no room, N-O, in you for fear. Now, it may still come, and born-again Christians may, you know, give in to it. But we're not bound by it, because it says, I didn't give you all this scripture, but it says in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, I have come to set loose the captives. Everybody was bound and a slave to fear before they were born again. If you're not born again, you're a slave to fear, whether you know it or not. People in the world don't realize it. They'll say, I don't fear anything. But they're lying to themselves. They're deceived. But praise God when you get born again. And when you realize who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should no longer have any fear. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Lord give us a spirit of love and the power of a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. Now, I can't narrow everything down, but the best I could, Lord, give me, there's approximately three types of fear that we live with in this world. Number one is bad things that are real. You know, people getting hurt, accidents, car accidents, work accidents, people, bad people that hurt or kill other people. There are people in the world that will do that because they are living under the bondage and slave to fear. Number two is the spirit of fear, the dread of anything that's not good, the dread of things that could happen that is not good. And then there's number three, the reverential and godly fear that we should have. You can pretty much, if you sit down and think about it, you can pretty much put anything into those three categories. and a born-again Christian, or as a lost person, most of the time their lives are ruled by number one and number two. They're fearful of things, fearful of bad people, fearful of bad things that can happen. They're fearful of losing their job, fearful of losing money and investing in the stock market, fearful of losing their homes to fire or burglars or being killed by a bad person, an evil person. I don't have that fear. And the reason I don't have that fear is when I learn to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Father in heaven. Because he sent Jesus to deliver us from the slavery of sin, the power of dominion of sin over the lives of people in the world. And you might say, well, I don't live under that fear. If you're born and you're alive and walking, in this world, you live in that fear, because it tells us plainly in God's Word that it started in the Garden of Eden. And it doesn't stop until the garden of your heart, when you invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your heart. When you can say, Jesus is Lord, and you know exactly what it means, you're on the path of having no fear. Now, as born-again Christians, do we fear things? It can come. I've had fearful things to come at me. I've been involved in near misses and accidents after I was born again. But it didn't scare me near as bad as scaring me whenever I was not born again and thought I was born again and being deceived. You know, what would have happened if I got killed then? I didn't realize that I had a fear of death before I got born again. And everybody here in this service knows that fear started going away in April the 20th, 2014. And God has led me on a path ever since then. It gets stronger and stronger every day. I have no fear. I can say that truthfully. Now, fear does come at me. But I played this part of Zach Williams' song. He has another song called Fear is a Liar. I'm sure all of you heard it. Listen to it. Because fear is a liar. Fear comes straight from Satan. He operates how he knows how our minds operate. If a person gets fear in their brain, it takes over, and you're thinking, and you can't hardly do anything else. I can tell you, for example, if you don't know how to swim, you go jump in deep water and you can't swim, there ain't too much more going to take over your mind except getting out of that deep water, because you can't swim. You're fearful that you're going to die. Drown, rather. But when it comes at you, and I'm telling you not as a person of authority, but as a person of experience. Because after I was born again, I give in to fear. And as a born-again person, if you don't learn how to do 1 Peter 5:7 and cast that fear over onto the Lord, it can start ruling your life and ruining your life, ruining your relationship with the Lord, ruining your relationship at church. It can take absolutely everything that you have away from you, even though you're born again. But it's a choice that you got to make. You have got to stand firm and stand up and say, Lord, I cast this on you. I will not entertain this thought. I know it's not from you. It's from Satan. When you start doing that, I guarantee you, you will have a revelation. You're not bound by fear. We are not bound by fear. Jesus said he came and delivered us from that, and I believe him. Not only because I know it, or not only because I feel it in my spirit, but because God's Word said it, and I believe God's Word. Born-again Christians, if they, of the three types of fear I told you about a while ago, number one, two, and three, I'm just going to leave them with that to make things shorter, because I get tripped up on words sometimes. If they've got number three, the reverential fear working in their lives, number one and two ain't going to have no room. If you let number one and two work, number three is not going to have much, if any, room. Now, don't get me wrong. Finances is one of the things that was really tried to tie me up. Now, how did Satan know that? He can't hear my thoughts, but he heard the words I said. Man, where am I going to get the money to make the house? But I've said that out loud. I don't do that no more. That don't happen no more. You know why it don't happen no more? Because I quit saying it, and Satan's like, I wonder if he's still worried about that. He'll throw it over at me. And I said, no, Lord, I'm not going to let it work this time. I cast it on you because I know it says in your word. And Jesus said, take no thought saying. So I'm not supposed to think about it. I'm not supposed to say it. And if I do think about it, in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, I'm supposed to cast it down. Brother Scotty had that revelation he told us about. He used to quote that and quote that and quote that. And right there one night, on Wednesday night, he quoted and it hit me like a wall of bricks. I said, all I got to do is just tell the Lord I don't want it. It's that simple. And then act like, or at least act like, but believe it and do in your heart what you just said. Lord, I don't want this. I cast it down. You won't get it. Now, it's not a magical thing. It's not a magical formula. It's supernatural power in the Word of God. If you don't feel it the first time you do it, keep doing it. Because we don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith and not by sight and not by feeling and not by taste and not by smell, nor any other thing except faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Now, if you're full of fear and you don't have very little or no faith, how are you going to please your Lord? Now, that's just where I was at. And I was all the times, Lord, I really want to do stuff for you, but, you know, I have a problem here. And sometimes it wasn't just finances. Sometimes it was just little things, you know. This may seem stupid to everybody, but it worked. I would say, man, I hope He don't send me that one job. I was in fear of going to that one job because I didn't like it, not because I was scared of it. But I didn't like it. But I was in fear of getting it because I didn't want it. And that kept on, and I didn't handle that correctly until it gave me a bad attitude, and I had to wait until some unsaved people and saved people reminded me at work that I was in a bad attitude, and the Holy Spirit said, there you go. So now I got to back up, and I got to cast this on the Lord, and I ain't got that fear no more. I don't have that bad attitude no more. Matter of fact, whenever it broke, I testified, my pay went up. I got an increase in pay. I don't guess you call it a promotion because sometimes it's kind of a pain to train somebody to do a new job. It's not if it's their fault. It's just there's a whole lot involved in it. Number one, I don't like sitting and riding in a big truck. I found that out this past week. I've been training again. Well, praise God, it paid $125 extra a day. So I'm not going to dwell on, it's not nice to sit in a big truck and ride. Number one, you can't take a nap because, you know, you're trying to train somebody. It's not a good, image for the trainer, company representative, be sitting over, Well, have a wreck and ask the trainee, what was the trainer doing? He was asleep, man. That's not good. So I'm sitting over, And y'all that know me know that, if I like talking about something, I'll talk your head off. But sometimes I don't say a whole lot. Well, I'm over there talking poor dude's head on. He's like, yeah, okay. You done told me that about four times. I was, okay, sorry. But I did get to witness to him too. But the main thing I want to put out here is, I don't know if I can say it right, when God gives you the revelation, you're no longer a slave to fear. That don't mean that it's just in one place. It's in your whole area, being of your life. Everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you say, everything you want to do, your dreams, your visions, your plans, nothing in your life should have anything to do with fear. I used to have a fear as a man, I hope my kids when they get grown or still serve God. And I had to cast that down. Because when God gave me the revelation, I'm not bound by fear. I no longer live in fear. Everything that you fear, what did it say about Job? Everything he feared came to pass. That's stout right there. You don't want it to happen, don't fear it. Give it to the Lord because God's word says about your children, train them up in the way they should go. And when, not if, when they are old, they will not depart from it. I've got three kids outside of the house now, one not far away from it, but all four of them, well, I think one of them does. At least three of them go to church. And if the fourth one's not, I'm praying that they will be there. Praise God. Because they have something we talked about in the men's meeting last month. They got a foundation to go back on. And it's not built in fear. It's built in love and the power of a sound mind. Lord, I ain't even got no scriptures yet. Let's go ahead and go to Matthew 14, please. Now, this particular story in scripture I wanted to use because, give you a little, set this up a little bit. Before this happens, the disciples have just witnessed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 when Jesus broke the bread and the fish and blessed it, and it fed. And it says, I got to reading last night, it says it fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. So there's no telling. If every man had a wife there, there was 10,000. If every man had a wife and kid, that's 15,000. So there's no telling how many it fed. And some left over. What does it say? God does. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. And now, this start. It says, then he, Jesus, directed the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent away the crowds after he had fed them. And after he had dismissed the multitudes, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was still there alone. But the boat that the disciples was in, by this time, was out on the sea many furlongs, and a furlong is 1/8 of a mile, distant from the land, beaten and tossed by the waves, for the wind was against them. They were in a storm. When you get in your storm, and the wind comes against you of life, and the devil's beating on you, sending things at you in some spirit of fear, this is not the time to back up. This is not the time to fear. And in the fourth watch, which is between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. In the King James Version, it says it is a spirit. That's what it means. It is a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. These are grown, seafaring men. They're not, you know, little teenagers. They're not half-grown people. These are grown, stout men. It says they screamed out with fright. But instantly, he, Jesus, spoke to them saying, take courage, I am. Now, the reason it says this in the Amplified Classic Version is because it's a direct reference back to Exodus 3, chapter 14, when God told Moses, I am that I am. Same translation. And he said, stop being afraid. Now, Jesus just told them, you think they know his voice, right? Okay. He said, take courage, stop being afraid. Look what Peter says. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. If it is you. So they're still not where they need to be. They're still in fear. And Jesus, he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Now at this point, he's already asked Jesus, if it's you, said come. Jesus said come. Now he's walking on the water. Now he believes Jesus. He's in the middle of a miracle here. Can you imagine what you would be thinking if Jesus said come over here and you walk across the water to him? You would think that you'd be at the top of your game, don't you? Look what happens. Everybody knows the story. But when he perceived and felt the strong wind, he was frightened. Frightened is another word for fear. What happened? He let his circumstances put him into a spirit of fear, the dread of bad things or things that could happen. And as he began to sink, that's very important. Why did he begin to sink? Because number one and number two was full of him, full in him, and number three, the reverential fear of God and faith was leaving him. Faith was leaving him. If you're in the middle of your miracle that God has given you, but something don't look like it's quite going right, don't lay down and back up. Like Brother Scotty says, don't let the devil see you sweating in the middle of your trial. Sometimes the answer you need may not come and be done with automatically, instantly. It may take a little while. And if it's not the way you think it is, and I'm telling you from experience, not authority, if it's not the way you think it is, you keep believing. You stay Like Brother Scotty preached, abide. Don't lose. Don't move. And as he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me from death. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, what? O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Can you imagine how Peter felt? I know how I would have felt. But Jesus is speaking the truth. And his words say this truth will set you free. And when you are free indeed. That means nothing can take that away from you. When you get a revelation from God, the only way you can lose it is not use it or not believe it. And I've had several, and it's not because I'm anything special, but it's because I got my heart where I know God wanted it. God sees your heart, and I like saying this, like we look at each other and see our appearance. I see Brother Johnny, he's got a beard. Well, the Lord looks at Brother Johnny and sees his heart and sees exactly what's in his heart. I look at Sister Sandy, she's got blonde hair. The Lord looks at Sister Sandy and he sees her heart. The outward appearance doesn't mean, I'm not going to say nothing, but doesn't mean anything to God compared to your heart. When God sees your heart and it's where it needs to be, and I'll show you something else here in a little while, it will absolutely cause God to change either his time or his mind. Several scriptures. I'll give you one right now. I don't know exactly where it's at. What did God do whenever one of the many times the children of Israel disobeyed him and he went to wrath? He got upset with them and told Moses, said, get out of the way, because Moses stood between him and them and said, I'm going to destroy them and I'll raise up a nation out of you. And Moses prayed for them and God changed his mind. Now, God will change his mind. He will change his timing too. But it'll be according to his word. Now, he says, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Go on to the next scripture. I didn't give you enough scripture. But I can say it. He gets back into the boat, and they worship him and said, of the truth, you are, the Lord. If you notice in the scripture, there's two different accounts of this, one in Matthew and one in Mark. When they get back in the boat, nobody has anything to reply, including Peter, when he said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Nobody has anything to say. Can't say anything. Especially Peter, he was there and then came back. The other disciples said, they were already in doubt. They didn't go past, do what Peter did and said, if it is you, let me come out on the water and walk with you. That was kind of a test for a sign. Jesus gave him a sign. And then he still didn't hang on to it. Now, I'm not down on Peter about, Brother Peter about that by any means. I've done it. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this to happen. And it didn't happen when I thought it needed to happen, so I just give up on it. There's been once that the Lord didn't just let me give up, and he brought it to pass anyway. And I know why he did that. Because he said to me, why did you doubt, O you of little faith? Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, because I felt bad. But when you get to the place where you start doubting the Lord, you have little faith. And you have to learn to stop doing that. I had to learn to stop doing that. If things don't look like you think they ought to look, God knows what he is doing. God is bound to his word. If it don't look like it's going to work according to your will and your way, then get in God's word and his will and his way, and you'll see what's going on. He may not give you a full-blown vision revelation of what he's going to do, but you're at least going to be in the right spot so when he does do it, you can receive it. Peter was in the right spot and received it. What happened whenever he got out of the right place? He didn't receive anymore. Now, got a long way ahead of myself, but anyway, that's what the Lord told me to say. What is the next scripture? I didn't keep a copy of it. Yeah, Matthew 15. I have read this scripture. I have heard this story so many times. When God gave me the revelation of this, I was overcome with the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit that I just about was in tears. Once again, Jesus had been doing some miracles, and he's going somewhere else. And it says, and going away from there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman who was a Canaanite, remember that, from that district came out and with a loud, troublesomely urgent cry begged. Now I want you to look at these words, troublesomely urgent, crying, begging, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressfully and cruelly possessed by a demon. Now, she's not whispering this. She's not even saying it in a normal conversation. She's screaming it. She's making a scene with a big crowd around. And look what it says. But Jesus did not answer her a word. In a form, he's ignoring her. You might say, well, why did Jesus do that? We'll find out. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. In other words, they said, Lord, this woman's embarrassing us. She's, you know, screaming and crying. She's begging. You know, do something with her. And Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, that is true. Jesus came to minister to his own people, to send the promise that we have. But they were to be preached to first and have the opportunity first. At this time in the world, this woman, and it'll tell us in a minute, had no claim whatsoever to the promise that the Israelites had that Jesus was preaching. They did not have the claim to have faith in God. They did not have the claim to have faith to be healed. They did not have the claim to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have sins forgiven. She did not have this claim. In other words, she couldn't have this at this time. But she came and kneeling, worshiped him, and she did what? Kept praying and saying, Lord, help me. And he told her again, he answered, it is not right, proper, becoming, or fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, to give you a little bit of context, the children of Israel are God's chosen people because of his covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham because of Abraham's faith. Everybody that's called an Israelite or children of Israel is direct descendant of Abraham. And he told Abraham, and all nations, through you, all nations will be blessed. But at this time, the children of Israel are supposed to be receiving their blessing for their Messiah. And Jesus only preaches to them and tries to bring them to repentance and to believe on him. That is who the children's bread he's talking about. And he says, right, it's not right, it's not proper, it's not becoming, and it's not fair to take this message and this gift and these promises and give it everybody else beside the children of Israel, as we know, were Gentiles. As far as they were concerned, they were, you know, subhuman. They were human beings, but they were not where the Israelites were at. And that's who the little dogs is Jesus is talking about. Look what she said. Now, the word doesn't tell us that the Lord told her to say. But I'm saying, by seeing what I'm reading here, her faith in her heart, her belief, that because it says on the in the Mark version, that she in the scriptures in Mark, that she hadn't even seen Jesus before now. She had heard of his preaching. She had heard of his miracles. And she had faith from hearing. What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had faith by hearing, and by hearing about Jesus, what he had done. She believed, and she wasn't letting go of it. But she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little pups, the little whelps, little, you know, he's talking about little dogs, she's talking about little puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from their young master's table. Now he came at her with a parable type thing, and she came back at him with a parable type saying, Look what he said. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith." Man, that jumped out at me. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't never felt like God told me, "Great is your faith," to me. Maybe I've had it sometimes. Maybe I didn't. I ain't trying to measure it. But I ain't never felt him say that in my spirit. And then he says, "Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was cured from that moment. Do you think that lady was living under fear? No, she was living in faith. What did she have to fear? Well, of course, she's fearing losing her daughter. But she didn't stop because Jesus told her she couldn't have it right now. Now, if you go all the way back, go past Jesus' ministry to Acts chapter 10, the story about Cornelius and his household, the Gentiles are supposed to receive the promise, but not at this time. Yet this lady received the promise, being a Canaanite and a Gentile at this time. There's only one reason she got it: her faith and lack of fear. Now, it doesn't say that she feared this and feared that, like the other story did, but it's a, I know in my heart, if you're reading God's Word enough, if you have faith, you don't have no fear. Brother Shambach said it. Brother Scotty says it. All you need is faith in God. The reason being, because when you got faith in God, you ain't got no room for fear in your life. You don't have to worry. We may still do it, but you don't have to. I spent a long time, even after I was born again, living in too much fear. Now, I didn't fear death anymore. I didn't fear hell, of course, or the grave, because I'm born again. I'm not subject to any of those things anymore. When I go through the door of death, I'm going to go before God, and Jesus is going to say, "He's covered by the blood, Father," and I'm going to enter in. How do I know that? Because I have the Holy Spirit in here that has manifested it and told me in my spirit when I believed and got my heart right here on this altar, there was a change in me. Now, that change didn't happen because of me. That change happened because of me having faith. And y'all all in here in this congregation know my testimony. Out there in media land, I was born and raised. My daddy was a strict, faithful, believing faithful in God, at the time a Baptist denomination evangelist for years. I was raised in church from the time, before I ever went to school, I was in church. I remember the church I went to. I remember being raised. I remember everything that I was taught, but I still did not have Lord Jesus in my heart. I was not born again. Even though when I was young, I asked for it. The reason I didn't get it when I was young, the Holy Spirit told me, because I was young. My heart wanted something, but my heart didn't understand something. I couldn't receive it. Now, I ain't saying kids can't get born again. But I didn't when I was a kid because I didn't take it for what it was. So what happened was, is the devil used that against me all my life. Well, you're born again, you know. I knew that I couldn't live any way that I wanted to, and you know, and God's going to be okay with it. I wasn't sure what was going to happen if I died where I was at before April the 20th, 2014 here. But I kept telling my mind, well, I guess I'll be okay because I'm born again. Not. Look, I'm not trying to split hairs and get on something that isn't. But either you are born again and you belong to Jesus Christ or you do not. There's no in between. If you know it, and I'm not saying that people, you know, out there in the world, they can be born again and not be in God's will, not be in church, not be in God, doing God's will. My story was I wasn't. I thought I was a prodigal son and I was lost as anybody else in the world. I was deceived because I was held by that fear. Now, the Holy Spirit would let that fear multiply in me at times. I would be riding down the road. I've been driving a truck for almost 30 years. And I started having this dream that I'd be going across this big bridge driving my big truck and the bridge collapsed. and he'd be in the water, and I would drown. I would die. And I'd think, well, what is it? I mean, it scared me. I'm not scared of a whole lot. It wasn't then. But that scared me. I was in fear. I would have that dream quite a bit. It never happened. And I had several, and I've testified about them. I won't have time to go into them this morning. I had more than three or four times I come real close to being killed. Wrecks and accidents, some different things. The point is, God was faithful and kind and merciful to me until I got my heart where I needed it in 2014 here in this altar. He did not have to wait on me. I was the one that was in the wrong. I was held by the bondage of fear and sin. I was the one that kept putting it off because I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it. I liked doing the things I was doing. I'm going to give God credit. I was hooked on drugs and got off of drugs before I got born again, but I'm going to give God credit anyway because I know that I'm sure I wouldn't have done it on my own. I'm talking about hooked on. I'm talking about a needle junkie. 380 days I didn't work. I was on drugs as often as I could be. I had spaces in my life for 30, 40 days I don't remember. I can't give an account for. I'm not bragging about that. I want to give God the glory. God is merciful. God is faithful. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. And it's not His wish that any should come and perish without Jesus in their heart, but everybody come to repentance. The world does not really want to do that. Most people think that you're trying to make a judgment call on them. And the devil's got them deceived. They'll get, you know, some people get an attitude, some won't. Like I had a guy at church, at work one day. I had started witnessing to him. This had been a couple of years ago. And I said, and I was telling him things, and he was looking at me real kind of funny, like, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, and this man was like in his 50s. I said, have you never heard the Bible, never read it? He said, well, I've heard it, but I've never read it. To me, that was just, I could not believe it. I thought, it, you know, everybody in this day and time at least read something in the Bible. But he said he never picked up a Bible in his life and opened it and read one word out of it. And I told him, I called his name, I said, I got a Bible right here, and I opened it up and I read a few scriptures to him. And I said, I want you to remember what I'm telling you, because you're deceived and you think you're okay, but if you don't have the Lord Jesus in your heart when you die, you're going to torment, is what everybody calls hell, and it's real. But you're living under the bondage of fear and sin, but you don't know it. And he didn't really have a good answer, so, well, that could be, and he quit not long after that. I never did get to lead him to Christ. I asked him several times. He said, no, that's not really what I'm wanting to do. I said, well, okay, because I'm not going to push anybody. I'm not going to beat them to death with, you know, the word, unless God tells me to, because he knows, the Holy Spirit knows their heart, knows that there might be something going in their heart. They need to hear it more than just when you feel like saying it. And I've got to witness a few other times, but I think, how can they not believe this? But then I stop and think, well, I shouldn't say that, because I was up to here in it all my life. I might have believed it, but I didn't believe in it because I wasn't doing it. Because it says in James that if you have faith in God and you profess to have faith in God, you're going to have some kind of works. It means there's going to be some evidence. If you tell somebody, I go to church every Sunday, but you go out here and they don't know any difference between you and the next person, or them that don't go to church, that's lost and drinks and does whatever they want, and you act just like them, nobody's going to believe us. I mean, goodness, if you just have a bad attitude, they might not believe you're a Christian. Because it says in Revelations that Satan accuses the brethren daily. Now, he does that before the Lord, that's meaning the born again, but he also does it out in the world. He'll have a lost person to come to you. If you say, I'm born again, and then you're out here and you do anything that a lost person thinks is not supposed to be right, and you say you're a Christian, they're going to come to you if they're bold. You're a mighty big Christian. You are doing such and such and such. And they could be right. No, I ain't saying it might depend on the situation. I ain't saying that they are right because they know what they're saying, but at least they know if you are in the wrong, that you're wrong and not right. And they're wrong, they're not right, but you're not going to get them in the right because you're in the wrong. You're operating a little bit of fear and doubt, and you don't realize it. I've done that before too, and I had to ask the Lord to repent. I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me of that. But one of the biggest revelations that has helped me step closer to the Lord is to realize I ain't got nothing to fear. Jesus paid a high price for me to have that. I've got the spirit of love and a sound mind in me through the Holy Spirit. I want to exercise. I want to take that and I want to build it. And I want to build on it. One of the guys I trained before, got most of the time when people come to work in the trucking business, you know, about every job you go to, you don't get a check for at least 2 weeks. Well, in trucking business, for the first week, you don't make hardly nothing because training pay ain't much. You don't start making stuff till you drive. Real decent money. Most all of them usually, you know, don't have much money, if any, to get through their first week or so of work. So the guy needed some money, and the company don't like to give a advance until they've worked at least 2 or 3 days because they don't have any money to pay back in case they quit. That's what I figure. I've never heard. So he asked me to borrow $100. And I told him, I said, and he called me at home, and I said, I'll tell you what, hang on a minute. I need to talk to my wife about it because, you know, and the Lord too, because, you know, it's her money too. So I talked to her about it and I prayed about it and the Lord said, go ahead and do it. So I did it. He didn't stay, he quit. And he called me up and he said, I really, really do appreciate you letting me borrow that money. I'll get it back to you as soon as possible. And the Lord had already told me, and I said, no, man, don't worry about it. Just go do what you got to do, do your stuff. I said, I just want you to remember the things I told you about God. I said, God told me to let you borrow that money, and God told me to let you have that money. And you keep that money, and don't you think a thing about it. And he kept saying, no, no, I'll pay us. No, you don't you even think about paying me. The point is, I know I could not be in the situation to do that had I been still been over here where I used to be 11, 12 years ago, fighting fear, trying to get my faith stronger. The only fight there is in your mind. You say, hey, it says in 1 Peter 5:7, is it, Brother Scotty? Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It don't matter what it is. I've got problems. I've got things that needs to be done. I've got things I want. I've got a vision. I love my pastor. He has taught me more. And if I hope I listen, I did listen, you know, while I'm here. But, you know, when I leave here, I like to try to remember what I've heard while I'm here. Because I have found out what I heard while I'm here is God's Word. There's some people on Facebook says, hey, we just moved into the place we know, you know, a nice church to go to, got a program this. And I tell them, I said, well, we got, you know, this and this and this. We'd love to have you at Faithway Christian Center. I don't know if any of them has ever come. A lot of people don't want to go to a church if they don't have a good kids program. Look, this is the best kids program in the world. Yes, here we do have a class for the kids after Sunday school. And that all it does is just bring things down to their level, helps them understand it a little better. But they need to have the Word. There is nothing that's going to work except the Word. I don't care what kind of program. A lot of people say, and I've heard it, well, we need to get them in here. A hot dog and a circus and a bouncy house ain't going to get people in the house of God. They'll get them on the property if it does anything. That don't mean it's going to keep them here. There's only one thing that keeps you in the house of God, and that's His Word. And there's only way you can keep His Word, and that's to put it in your heart. David said, thy Word have I hid in my heart. That means he memorized it. How did he memorize it? He was thinking it. He was reading it. And I heard all this from our pastor too in Joshua 1:8. It says, meditate on my word day and night to make your way successful. You find yourself worried, anxious, not knowing what to do next. Trust me, I've been there more than 50 times. And the one thing that has helped me more than anything is to turn and get on my knees and say, God, I can't do this. I wasn't meant to do this. I'm born again. This is what you do for me. I cast it on you. I don't want the burden I'm trying to put on myself. I want you to take care of this, Lord. And you might say, well, how do I do that? You do that and act like it's already happened. Even if it happened, you act like it. It tells God that you're doing what His Word says to do. Because when you fall back in fear, you do just like Peter did, and you sink back in to wherever you were at before. You might not go back to the ways and the places and all of that, but you go back to that spirit of fear. We just read the scripture. God changed timing for a woman because she believed and had faith. She was not in fear. That's all I got this morning. I got to be quiet. I could talk for another 2 hours, but the Lord said, okay. Anybody got anything you want to say?